We get into our top story segment on this Wednesday evening edition of the UFM Business Hour, and we're talking about the short-term and long-term insurance ombuds annual report. And I'll tell you, on the long-term insurance part of things, the ombudsman is seeing and looking ahead and planning with optimism, which is a good thing. We speak to the ombudsman for long-term insurance, that is Yvonne Barnard-Theron. Thank you so much for your time, Yvonne.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for having me.
What a pleasure, because in the midst of negativity and an economic environment that is quite pessimistic, at least you are seeing a little bit of optimism. Talk to us about this report. Where do you find the optimism?
I think you have to be optimistic. I mean, if you can't laugh about something, I mean, the economic situation in our country, I think we're just going to start crying. So from our side, what we are very optimistic to see is just a continued support from some insurers and some complainants and just resolving matters. We managed to get some bucks back to consumers, to policyholders, about 220 million. So I think that's where we see some optimism. And also just working together with OSDI, with the short-term insurance ombudsman, and going forward with the banking ombudsman and credit ombudsman as we amalgamate.
What's fascinating is that it means that the authorities of restitution for consumers in this regard is working somewhat of a well-oiled machine, where one can knock on the door and the ombudsman is there to answer. Talk to us about some of the cases that you handle. They may be intricate, but at the same time, we should leave room to maybe say to our listeners and consumers at large that there is a door to go to when you want recourse.
So the majority of our complaints is, quite interestingly enough, about funeral policies. Mm-hmm. It's gone up steadily over the years. It's about 48% of our complaints now. Most of these, and just across the board, not just on funeral policies, most of our complaints are regarding claims that are declined because some of the policy terms and conditions aren't met. So, for example, let's use a funeral policy. There's about a 6-month waiting period on natural death, and that period hasn't expired, or there isn't a proper blood relation between a policyholder and one of the dependents. Going looking at life policies or something like that, something like there might be a pre-existing condition that's not there, or there's non-disclosure. So that is the majority of our complaints. What we do see, though, which is understandable, but it is worrisome, is that there's definitely an increase on policies lapsing. And that makes sense. You know, people's disposable income is considerably less than it was a few years ago. I think if you have to choose, am I going to pay my car? Or am I going to pay my policy?
Yeah.
So it's getting a difficult choice to make. And I think, people make the choice that they'd rather let the policy go, which is disheartening, because you lose all that cover that you've been paying towards, and it's not a savings account, so you don't get anything back, which is really sad to see for us.
That's a very important point that you raise, Yvonne, in that, yes, consumers are cash-strapped, and the choices that we have to make at a financial level of survival is what makes priority to you. But sitting at the ombudsman's office, the trajectory that you are seeing should be concerning, in that maybe there's a need for industry to change their service providings in terms of portfolios that are being sold to consumers. To what extent does the ombudsman's office get maybe those type of inklings to say that currently we are still in a very focused, traditional way of insurance, and once one defaults, then really there's not much that can be done. You forfeit. And what's been unfortunate is that with COVID-19, there were job losses, there were salary cuts, and subsequent to that, we then get into a global trajectory of financial misfortunes, not of our own doing. Our salaries are not going up, but the cost of living has gone up. So there's a bigger conversation to be had about what industry is offering and what then would come to the Ombudsman's office in this regard.
So I think, you know, I mean, in the same sense as it's not a complainant's fault that they're losing jobs, so too it's not necessarily the insurer's fault. You know, it's just a lose-lose situation for everybody, because your premium gets put into a risk pool, you know. So if they don't get the premiums, they can't offer the risk, they can't offer the cover. What I do think what happens a lot is that I don't necessarily think that policyholders are they approach the insurer in time to say, listen, this is a situation. I mean, one of the options that an insurer can look at is not that we tell them what to do at all. That's they if they exercise their business decisions, we don't interfere with that. But what we have seen is that some of them say, okay, we can reduce your premium. Obviously, then your cover would also be reduced. But at least you then, you don't lose everything.
Yes.
You know? So, yeah, you go from a million to maybe half a million cover, but your premium, it gets reduced as well. So that's definitely an option. I know during COVID, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority also requested insurers just to keep in mind that, you know, people are going through hardships. And I do think the insurers, you know, what we've seen is they have been accommodating, but, you know, they can't offer insurance for free.
No.
That's the unfortunate reality of it. It would be nice, but it's not realistic. You know, we need these companies to survive as well. So it's a sad reality of the times. I think that's probably the best way to put it.
It absolutely is a sad reality, but from the alliteration that you've just given, in that at least there is a give and take where industry is meeting the client halfway, it's quite encouraging. And I really do want to ask the question about the role of the Ombudsman's Office in this regard. How much of gain and traction has it been able to make in terms of South Africans knowing that there is this outlet? You don't have to be sitting in a corner and frustrated, not knowing where to go when you do face a challenge between yourself and the insurer that you've basically signed off the T's and C's to.
So I think, you know, there's always room for improvement. There's always, you know, more that can be done to let people know about our existence. As far as I understand, policy documents have to have our details in it as well, so that complainants do know that they can approach us, and they can approach the FAIS Ombudsman if the complaint is about advice. So that should be in there. Yeah, I mean, as far as our role is, I mean, our role is to resolve complaints.
Yeah.
You know, to sue a company, to sue an insurer, costs a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Money that we don't have, Yvonne.
Exactly. not just from a complainant's point of view, you know, it's not cost effective for an insurer either. So that is what we are. We're an alternative dispute resolution organization. We try to resolve complaints via mediation, conciliation. That's the first step, is to try and get everybody, not necessarily around a literal table, but maybe more figuratively, and see if we can't resolve a complaint that way. And if it can't be done, that we make a determination. So we act almost, I think, you know, to use the court example is probably the easiest way to explain it. So we sit as a court, we're impartial and independent. So we don't act on behalf of complainants. We definitely don't act on behalf of insurance companies. And we looked at the matter independently, impartially. We apply the law. We look at the contract. But we also have what we call an equity jurisdiction, which is really nice. So maybe in some instances, based on contractual terms, there isn't a valid claim. But we look at all the circumstances around it, and based on equity or fairness, we can make a decision that a claim should be considered, which we have used before. So that's nice. That's not something that a court would necessarily use. I think, you know, the legal process is very...
it's black and white. It's very clear. It's black and white. Yeah. If you are, I mean, if you fail to produce the evidence, then that means your case is lost.
Exactly. So we do try and come in there, and we do like to balance the scales as well, because we do understand that it is a big organization with lots of resources against the man on the
David
street.
David and
so
Goliath.
We do take that. Yes, we do take that into account as well. At the same time, not acting on behalf of a complainant. But what we can say is, you know, is that ombudsman services are free. And people have nothing to lose by approaching an ombudsman and asking for a system. At worst, they can be told, listen, unfortunately, your claim can't succeed because of the following reasons. But at least then they'll be in a much better position to understand exactly why the claim can't succeed. Mm. And maybe it can. Maybe there is something we can do. I mean, we don't just look at claims necessarily, but we also look at the kind of service that you get from an insurer. Mm-hmm. This year alone, we got about, I think it was just, speaking of the question, I think it's about 850,000 rand worth of compensation. Mm. And that was for poor service in about 200 cases. So that's also something that we look at. So the only suggestion we can make to people is to approach us. To ask us to look into a matter if they're not happy with a response received from an insurer or anything like that. We can definitely assist.
As a parting shot, Yvonne, one of the cases that was sort of precedent-setting was the Santam case at the time of COVID-19. And then we saw many other insurers being accused of maybe not coming to the party with the flooding in Durban, in KZN, that was just recently, as well as the July unrest of 2021, the looting. So there have been test cases that allude to maybe a scenario in South Africa that says, did you look at the T's and C's? And over and above that, what have you been paying for until an eventuality takes place? How do we tackle that element?
So I can't speak about, I think you're referring to the Cafe Chameleon case.
Yeah.
I can't speak to that really, because that's more short-term insurance. That would be our colleagues at the short-term insurance ombudsman. They would have had those cases. But just from our side, I mean, there's a lot of case law and a lot of court cases going on about contracts and fairness in contracts. There's lots of legislation that's also coming, and we've got the policyholder protection rules, I always get it wrong, that very clearly stipulate what an insurer must and mustn't do. One of the most noteworthy things, I mean, it's been there for years, it's not a recent thing, is that the first thing that comes into my mind is that if you have something, an unusual clause in a policy, one that I saw recently was that funeral cover, you have funeral cover of 20,000 rand, but it gets split between the family members. So the more dependents you have, so you have 10 dependents, they will only each get 2,000 rand if they pass away, not 20,000 rand. And we thought, I mean, that's new. So you have to bring that to the attention of the applicant for an insurer. It has to be in bold, you know, it has to be highlighted in such a way that it immediately catches your eye almost, you know. So there's definitely a move in the financial sector, and there's lots of other legislation also coming in, the Conduct of Financial Institutions Bill that's been there, that's, you know, they're working towards, is to level the playing field, to make it more fair on your average man on the street, you know, somebody that doesn't necessarily have the legal acumen that can go through the fine print. I mean, there's been many court cases specifically about fine print. Notably, there was a constitutional court case that said, I think it's Badkaisen, you know, insurance companies have legal departments that can go through fine print. You know, business people have that resources, whereas an average person won't.
Doesn't.
So there's definitely a move in, you know, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority is also very good. They also look at that. Our mandate is to investigate individual complaints. So if we do pick up a trend, we report it. But we can't speak to the industry. You know, we're not a regulator. I think that's just, you know, that's the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. They're the regulator. We're just there to assist individual people. That's mainly our role.
You've absolutely helped us in getting even more insights around what are the do's and don'ts and how we approach the Ombudsman's Office in this regard. Thank you so much for your time. Short-term and long-term insurance Ombuds annual report basically highlighting that there's optimism, but at the same time, they are taking in cases that pertain to your complaints as well as mine and the rest of South Africans who may feel aggrieved within this particular industry. Yvonne Barnard-Theron, Assistant Ombudsman for Long-Term Insurance, I thank you so much for your time. What are your views on that? And maybe what's your experience as a UFM listener? Tell us what it is. WhatsApp us on 0762602815 or engage with us on that UConnect app. You download it if you have not done so on the Google and Android Play Stores.
The UFM Business Hour with Dumisang Ndlovu, Monday to Thursday from 6 p.m.